Welcome to a WERU special on the film Stripped for Parts, American Journalism on the Brink, which is showing Tuesday, October 8th, 7 p.m. at the Maine Film Center in Waterville, Wednesday, October 9th, 6 p.m. at the Grand Theater in Ellsworth, and Thursday, October 10th, 6 p.m. at the University of New England Biddeford campus, Alphonse Center for Health Sciences. I'm Matt Murphy, your host for the program, and my guests are Mika Schweitzer-Blum from the Maine Center for Public Interest Reporting. She's the executive director. And filmmaker Rick Goldsmith, who is the person behind Stripped for Parts. Welcome to you both to WERU.
Thanks
so much.
Great
to be here.
So before we get started, could we get a little background on each of you? Mika, if you could go first.
Thanks so much, Matt. Yeah, as you said, I'm the executive director of the Maine Center for Public Interest Reporting, which is a nonprofit news organization that's been operating here in Maine, producing public interest reporting for 15 years and giving it away for free. We've published our news as the Maine Monitor since 2020. We focus on issues such as public health, climate, the environment, government accountability, civil rights issues, education, and we have a particular focus on Maine's rural communities. And we are delighted to be hosting Rick and Stripped for Parts next week.
Yes, as we are delighted in partnering with you too for some of the shows. And could you talk about the other partners that are in on this, presenting this important film?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at the Maine Monitor, we give away our news for free republication. We very much value our partnerships with Maine news organizations throughout the state. Part of our mission is trying to promote a healthy news ecosystem here in Maine, which is why we give our news away for free. So when we thought about bringing Strip for Parts, partnering with Maine news organizations to sponsor this event made perfect sense. We are all working together to try and have a really healthy and robust news ecosystem to serve the people of Maine. So we're delighted to have partners such as the Bangor Daily News, the Ellsworth American, you all at WERU, the Saco Bay News, as well as academic partners, Colby College, the College of the Atlantic, and the University of New England.
So there's a whole bunch of good folks in on this project. So
absolutely.
All right. And Rick Goldsmith, you are the filmmaker. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been making independent documentary films, mostly social issue documentaries, for about 40 years. And I kind of focus in, not entirely, but journalism, films on journalism, are kind of my specialty, I guess you'd say. My first feature documentary was called Tell the Truth and Run, George Seldes and the American Press. George Seldes was a longtime muckraking journalist and press critic who actually lived the last 40 years of his life in New England, in Vermont. And another film I did was called The Most Dangerous Man in America, Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers. And it tells the story of his whistleblowing. And included in that is the publication of the Pentagon Papers in the New York Times and the Washington Post and many other papers. So this is my third film. It's kind of a trilogy of films, and they each focus in a different way. The first two were both Academy Award nominated. They each focus in their own way on different aspects of journalism, both the good, the bad, and the ugly of journalism in the 20th century and now the 21st century.
Okay, thanks. And where are you based out of, Rick?
I'm based in, I work out of Berkeley, California. I live in Oakland, California, both Bay Area cities.
Okay, thank you. Thank you both for that, those intros to yourselves. And why don't I just cut right to the chase and say, why make this movie? Why this title? And what's happening?
Well, I've been reading newspapers since I was 7 years old. I'm a news junkie. It's been an important part of my life. I feel like newspapers have always connected me to the great big wide world out there, even when I was a kid. And when I got into documentary filmmaking, that's what drew me into it. I find that journalists themselves are incredibly interesting people, fascinating people, good storytellers, and they're doing work that the rest of us are benefiting from. And it was easy to see in the last 10 or 20 years how newspapers were getting thinner and thinner. But what I didn't know was I was attuned to this particular problem of hedge funds and journalism by an article that I read online in the spring of 2018. And the headline was, and you see this in the film, all the global capital is something like all the global capital is spending its time wrecking local journalism, and it isn't, it's not probable that it will end anytime soon. And for me, I thought, why is some outfit trying to wreck local journalism? What do they get out of it? And what's the story behind it? And the story behind it involved a band of journalists who were rebelling against this hedge fund, Alden Global Capital, and saying, wait a second, you're destroying the journalism in our community and in communities across the country. We're going to do something about it. And that doing something about it is basically blowing the whistle on what was going on and educating their communities and the public at large at what Wall Street in journalism means to America.
All right, thank you. Mika, what's the ecosystem in Maine that we're seeing for news reporting and newspapers and beyond?
We're fortunate in Maine that we actually have a fairly healthy news ecosystem, but even we have not been immune to the closures that we've seen across the United States. In the first 2 decades of the 2000s, Maine lost 6 in 10 newspaper publishing jobs. We've seen newspapers throughout Maine shut down, including the Maine Times, the Journal Tribune, and just recently in my own hometown, the Republican Journal closed. And that was replaced with a regional newspaper, the Midcoast Villager, and a new effort to try and keep Midcoast news robust. But the reality is that, as defined, a news desert is a place that has no dedicated news outlet based in that area. And if you look at Maine, Maine has two news deserts, Somerset County and Waldo County. Piscataquis County only has one dedicated weekly news outlet. So we are suffering from a decline. Waldo County used to have three newspapers published here. Now we have none. So it is an issue that we do need to be concerned with. And I think there are a lot of different efforts afoot in Maine to try and save news in Maine, a lot of different collaborations. And we are fortunate that we have a lot of dedicated people, a lot of people in Maine who do not want to see news shut down here, and recognize that it's really a critical part of our democracy, of the health of our communities. News studies, there's been plenty of studies done of communities that have lost newspapers. And the reality is that when a community loses a news organization, corruption goes up, citizen participation goes down, voting participation goes down, and all of that makes sense. If you don't have information, you're not going to participate. And if you're not participating, who's keeping elected officials accountable? Journalism is an essential part of our democracy. And so the kind of topics that Rick is exploring in his film, Strip for Parts, are really important for every community in the United States, including here in Maine.
All right, thank you. Rick, can you talk about the bad stuff that's happening? And then I'll ask you about who's fighting back and how they're doing that.
Sure. Well, the hedge funds kind of got into the journalism game in the mid 2000s, 2006, 2007. And all the global capital is often portrayed as the worst of the worst, but it's not only Alden. What happens with the your traditional publisher kind of had two goals. One was newspapers, especially in the 20th century and before, were a great place to get rich, and a lot of newspaper publishers did, and the best ones, and probably even most of them, had the community at heart, at least to some extent. They wanted to tell the story of what was going on in the community. Hedge funds, when they came in, they had that first part, let's get rich off the newspapers, but they didn't have the second part, which was let's serve the community. So typically, what they did was they would sell off assets to make their first amount of money. And then the next thing they would do was cut back staff. And that took the form of offering buyouts to the most senior reporters. And the upshot of that was you started to lose your institutional knowledge at these newspapers. And the second thing was you didn't have enough reporters and editors to really adequately cover your community. So where previously three reporters might cover one county and their court system, you became a newspaper where one reporter was covering three counties to cover their court system. And it just wasn't sustainable journalism.
And who is fighting back and how?
Well, the kind of lead reporter, I would say, in our film is a woman by the name of Julie Reynolds. And she used to work for the Monterey County Herald, a small paper in the California coast, Northern California coast. And she was one of those people who worked for one of these Alden takeover papers. In other words, Alden took over while she was working there and was offered a buyout. And the working conditions were so bad, she finally took the buyout. And a couple of years later, was approached by the News Guild, the union of newspaper workers, and saying, would you like to work on a website with us? And she said, well, let me do one better. Why don't I investigate Alden Global Capital and see what they're all about? Because people don't know. And before Julie Reynolds started doing her investigation, which started a couple of years before I got into the film, she started in 2016. Really, nobody knew. What they knew was the newspapers were getting slimmer and slimmer, but they didn't know why. And they didn't know who owned their newspapers and what they were about. And that's the story that first Julie brought to the forefront. And then in the spring of 2018, the reporters, an editorial writer from the Denver Post, again, one of Alden Global Capital's newspapers, in fact, their flagship paper, wrote an editorial blasting the hedge fund owners. And that news brought this, that editorial brought this news to the forefront nationally. Articles in the New York Times and the Washington Post and Esquire and the Huffington Post. I mean, really all over the country. And it was at that point where the newspaper men and women were beginning to tell the story and then did over the next several years. And you see that growth in our film about what hedge fund ownership meant to the newspapers themselves and to the communities they served.
So it sounds like the kind of dirty secret about the demise or partial demise of newspapers is these are these hedge funds, because most people know about the conventional wisdom that you hear is, well, the internet is what is killing print newspapers and newspapers, but it's more than that, what you're saying.
Yes, it is more than that. it's really kind of one led to the other. I mean, I think there were a lot of forces, the internet, changing readership, other business forces that caused the beginning of the decline at the beginning of this century of newspapers as a viable enterprise and as a place where if you were an owner, you could get rich. No longer was that the case. So your traditional publishers weren't getting into newspapers. Somebody had to fill the gap, and that gap was filled by hedge funds. And then you had a different kind of owner, as I mentioned up top, not interested in serving the community at all. Not that it was a lower priority. That was not their interest at all. And in fact, if they could, they flipped the priorities on their head. And that's where we are today.
Okay, thank you. Mika, what are there some success stories in Maine? I mean, who's fighting back in Maine and how? And can you share some are there any success stories in Maine?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that I think is most striking in Rick's film is that there are individuals. Journalists are not giving up. Journalists are fighting back. And that's certainly what motivated our founders, John Christie and Naomi Shalit. We are celebrating our 15th anniversary this year, and they founded our organization because they specifically were concerned about a lack of investigative reporting. And so they took the leap into nonprofit news, which a lot of people across the United States have done. And it is a different business model. It requires a lot of hard work. But we have been able to build on the work that John and Naomi did to grow the organization, build a community of readers and a community of supporters that really value our news and want to see it continue. And that's the key to nonprofit news is people have to want your news. It's true of the commercial model as well. I think there are a lot of community news organizations that we're seeing pop up across Maine. I mentioned Saco Bay News is one of the sponsors of this event. They're a community-based news organization that's only a couple years old. Similarly, we've seen a newspaper pop up in Peaks Island, the Sanford Springvale News, South Berwick Reporter. The Daily Bulldog is trying to grow its organization. The original Irregular is trying to grow. There's a lot of the Quoddy Tides, the Penobscot Bay Press. There's so many small town focused news organizations across Maine, and that really is invaluable. We saw the Bangor Daily News last year launched the Maine Independent News Collective to try and work with other independent news organizations like the Quoddy Tides, the Penobscot Bay Press, to find commonalities and to work together to grow their organizations, sustain their organizations, and collaborate on news. That's a growing initiative. They've been able to raise some funding to be able to serve their news organizations. Back to sort of the topic of Rick's film, I mean, last year we saw the mainstay media newspapers put up for sale. And I think the great fear in Maine was that an Alden Capital or someone like that would come in and buy those newspapers and that we would see those gutted the way that we've seen newspapers in other parts of the country gutted. Fortunately, that did not happen. The National Trust for Local News came in and bought those 20 newspapers, and the Maine Trust for Local News is continuing to serve Maine and to look for ways to grow and push back on that shrinking trend that I talked about earlier. So we do have some good news stories in Maine. It's not, and I would say people should not assume everything's safe. All of us are still, working to make sure that we can have sustainable news organizations, whichever the model is that we've chosen. It is I think it's important for people to look at news as a public service. It's a public good that is trying to keep the public informed. And so I always encourage, I mean, I subscribe to multiple newspapers in Maine, donate to several, I'm trying to do my part to show the value that I place on local news. It really is important. So, you know, subscribe to your local newspaper, donate to your local news organization, keep them in business, because without them, we really lose a vital public service.
Thank you. Rick, there's heroic behavior in your film by these reporters. And it seems like it's really hard for reporters, journalists who have to do their journalism work and then also have to deal with ownership that is antithetical to what they're trying to do. Can you talk about some of the success around the country, and particularly in your film?
The things that Mika talked about are happening around the country from people who either journalists themselves or people that are just concerned about journalists or journalism or the journalists and the kind of community members working together to make the news ecosystem work in their community, because it is so important. And I think one of the good things that comes from this crisis is that there's maybe more of a focus on public service in journalism than there had been in the past. What I mean by that is that newspapers always had kind of a good and a bad. They served the community, but they were also based on an advertising model. They catered to the business community more than the average person. They didn't cover poor people or people of color or the people that didn't have a voice. And these new organizations that, some of which Amika is talking about, are picking up that and making journalism, which started in this country to inform the public, that was their mission, to make that richer. And so it's not about saving local journalism, but it's also about rebuilding local journalism. And I think that's the movement you see.
I wanted to shift gears now to what it was like making the film. On the Maine Monitor Radio Hour here on WERU, which is a partnership program that we do with Mika's organization. There's the story, and then there's the story behind the story. What the story about the journalism being practiced. So I want to take the same lens for your movie. What was it like making the movie? What was the process like for you?
Well, I love talking to journalists. And early on in the story, early on in the production, I understood that this was going to be most effective if we told it through the eyes and actions of the journalists themselves. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is they were the story, they were the people who were fighting back. Number two, it gave me a chance to literally show the public what it was like to be a newspaper reporter or editor. And so through Julie Reynolds' reporting, you got a better understanding of investigative reporting. What does it take to investigate a very, very secretive organization that was based offshore, in the Cayman Islands and so forth and so on? How do you dig out those facts? We show other journalists, a reporter for the East Bay Times named Tom Peel. We see him just in his everyday reporting and trying to meet deadline with another younger reporter. And you get the color of what it's like to be up against that deadline, to be, using foul language back and forth, and actually trying to meet that deadline. So what you're seeing is, here's the crisis in local journalism, and here's the people who are immersed in it, either suffering from it, fighting it, or creating new solutions.
Well, I want to give you both opportunities for kind of final comments. Mika, why don't you go first?
Thanks, Matt. And thanks for doing this. I really think it's important to bring attention to this issue. And I hope folks will come out to see the film. These are free showings that we're having in Waterville on the 8th, in Ellsworth on the 9th, and in Biddeford on the 10th, October. Folks can get the information about the showings at themainmonitor.org, and they can register to attend there as well for free. All the showings will end with a Q&A with Rick. And so it'll be a great opportunity to pose your questions. We're really excited that there's been interest by young people in this film as well here in Maine. I'll be taking Rick up to Bangor High School to meet with students there, working with a couple of other high schools, perhaps on some visits as well. So it's really exciting that young people are interested because this is an issue that involves every generation. And, I like to say if we can secure news, an investment in news now has an impact across generations. And so just want to encourage people to come out, bring your friends, bring your families, bring your kids, and hope to see you there.
Rick.
Yeah, this has been it's been a great ride for me so far. We're in the midst of it. This film has been out several months, and we've had screenings across the country, probably 20 or more, and we have several scheduled over the next few months, and we'll be doing it into 2025. And one thing that I tend to talk about is I think of that there is a journalism gene in the population. And maybe 5% of the people have it. And what having a gene means is that no matter how much money has been sucked out of newspapers and journalism, there's still that maybe 5% of the population that has that gene. And among these high school students and the young journalists that are coming up, those are the people that are going to say, we're going to do this thing. Journalism is important in this community. It's important to unearth abuse of power. It's important for so many reasons. And it's going to happen. And this next generation is going to be paramount in figuring out how to save, rebuild, and reinvigorate local journalism. I'm confident of that.
That's one of the exciting things in the film. I mean, Rick spoke to this, but journalism is exciting. And I think that comes across in the film. And so, this is an interesting documentary, and I think people will enjoy it. Certainly want to encourage folks that are considering careers in journalism, like high schoolers and college students, to come out because journalism is a great job.
Well, I want to thank filmmaker Rick Goldsmith for being with us today. His film, Stripped for Parts, American Journalism on the Brink, is being shown locally Tuesday, October 8th through Thursday, October 10th. And you can find out more information at themainmonitor.org. And there's also info at weru.org. And also want to thank Executive Director Mika Schweitzer-Blum from the Maine Center for Public Interest Reporting, the publisher of the Maine Monitor. Thank you both for being with me here on WERU. I'm Matt Murphy. Thank you all for listening and for supporting your community radio station.